A reading from Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 22. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Well, thanks, Mel. And if we can cast our minds back to February this year, I know, again, it feels like a long time ago, but if we can cast our minds back to February, you may recall that we launched our theme for the year, the discipleship journey. And as a church, we talked about diving into four key focus areas that ultimately impact upon our discipleship as followers of Jesus. Those four areas, again, are content. This was the first area that we were going to focus on as a church, and that we did earlier this year, where we focused on understanding the kingdom storyline and understanding sound theology and doctrine in order that we may render our witness effective. The second part of the year, we focused on character. We just finished that period looking at emotionally healthy spirituality and diving deep into understanding how to harvest a healthy, mature character as disciples of Jesus. And now we're going to move into the third area this year, which is community. And what we've been exploring is how each of these areas ultimately render how effective we are in the fourth area that we're going to come to later in the year, calling. That is understanding ourselves as sent ones, called and commissioned to make disciples of Jesus. So we move into the third area, which is community. And in particular, today, we're going to look at how we are to harvest or to build healthy community here at San Suzy Baptist Church and in our discipleship journeys. And when you hear that phrase, building healthy community, I wonder what comes to mind for you. I want to encourage us just again to write down in the chat and to describe what images or what themes come to mind when you hear the notion or the phrase, building healthy community. So take some time to journal, to write down, to put into the chat right there in front of you on the screens there. What comes to mind for you? What do you envision when you hear the notion and the phrase, building healthy community? What does that look like for you ultimately? Just take a moment to jot that down or to write that down in the chat, and then we'll come back together. Thank you for those who responded, but I'm sure we all agree that building true and healthy community is more than just coming together once a week on a Sunday and maybe hanging around for a cuppa and a chat after the Sunday service. Obviously, that's a big part of building true and healthy community, but it goes a lot deeper than that, doesn't it? There's more to it than that. Because healthy community, a Christ-like community, ultimately should be a place where people are trusted, that people feel valued, and we value diversity. We value diversity of opinion, but also our diversity of an expression and different expressions of our faith. Ultimately, true and healthy community is built upon fellowship. And that is what we want to focus on here today, this notion and this idea of fellowship. And go a little deeper into that, because it is essential in our discipleship journey to focus in and around fellowship and get that right, because we weren't meant to do life on our own, were we? We need each other if we're going to go deeper in our relationship with God. So first and foremost this morning, healthy church community is built upon fellowship. And again, this notion of fellowship goes a lot deeper than an interaction over a cup of tea or coffee after the Sunday service. This notion of fellowship is actually derived from the word koinonia, the Greek translation word koinonia that we find in the New Testament. This word koinonia is found multiple times in the New Testament. And not only is this word referring to the kind of community and relationship that you and I can share as followers of Jesus, first and foremost, it focuses on the fellowship that we can share with God, the kind of relationship we are to harvest and experience with God. Because first and foremost, the Bible speaks about how blessed we are to experience koinonia as we relate in terms of our relationship with God. In John 1:3, John, in writing to his readers, he says, "We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So first and foremost, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we have been blessed with koinonia in relation to our relationship with God. We've been blessed with fellowship with God, communion, relationship, togetherness with Christ, fellowship and communion with Christ. And this is something that we have received by grace. Amen. But not only is it something that we have received by grace, not only is it a gift of God that we freely received, the scripture also tells us and teaches us that this is something that we ought to work at. Have a think about those relationships in your life where you have people in your life or friendships or relationships that you are trying your best to harvest a relationship with. You're putting in the effort to build upon this relationship with this person, but it's not reciprocated. Think about how devastating, how disappointing, how upset that makes you feel when you're putting your all into this relationship, but it's just not reciprocated the other way. Maybe we can get ourselves or put ourselves in God's shoes when we don't prioritize Him in our life. Ultimately, He has just demonstrated His love for us and His desire to have relationship with us in sending His Son Jesus, again, to die the death that you and I deserved so that we may live. He's demonstrated His desire to have fellowship with us in that way. Think about how He feels when we don't reciprocate that, when we don't prioritize God in our lives. Our relationship and our communion with God is something that we ought to prioritize and work at. Ultimately, something we should devote ourselves to. This idea of koinonia, fellowship, is also something that we ought to devote ourselves to and work at with one another. And this is something that the disciples in the early church evidently modeled to us, particularly in that all-important passage of Acts 2, 42 and 47, where we see the fellowship that the early church and the early believers have with one another. Have a look at verse 42, which says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." They devoted themselves to it, not just to the teaching or understanding God's word deeper, but they devoted themselves to koinonia, to fellowship. This is something that they worked at in terms of mastering in order to build healthy and true community in the life of the early church. They devoted themselves to fellowship with God and one another. And this passage reflects that the early church made it a priority in their lives. For what we see when we work on it, when we devote ourselves to fellowship with God and one another, is that it is a gift that produces true and healthy community and intimacy in the life of the community of faith. Again, it's something that we need to work at. It's something that we're called to join in together, to play our part. Ultimately, koinonia or fellowship is a partnership, a joint participation in one another's lives. And it's a gift that we are called to jointly contribute to. So where in your life, or how are you, what steps are you putting in place to contribute to the deepening of fellowship, the sense of togetherness here at Sans Souci Baptist Church? Ultimately, this is to be a core function of the life of the church, amen? Ultimately, this is why the church exists, to offer up fellowship to all believers. In Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, the passage that Mel read out to us earlier, it says, "You Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." You and I are members of the one family. Together under the banner of Christ, we belong to Him. We are brothers and sisters in the same household, the family of God. And this is why we practice communion together on a regular basis. And this is why we practice baptism. Not only are they symbols of our salvation, or symbols of our new life in Christ, they are also symbols of our life together in community as a family. Once someone is baptized, we are baptizing them into and incorporating them into the body of Christ. This is why we practice such means, to remind ourselves that not only have we been saved by the blood of Christ and have we been adopted into His family, but we are also brothers and sisters, one as one in the same family as well. So hopefully this may lead you, I pray, maybe if you haven't been baptized, to put your hands up for baptism. But again, hopefully it helps us to realize that just like any relationship, in order to build a healthy family dynamic, in order to build a healthy community dynamic, a healthy relationship of any kind, it requires working at it. It's a joint mutual contribution, jointly participating in order to harvest and to foster this deep sense of fellowship in the life of the church. And when we reflect on this, does this mean that there's going to be the absence of conflict or issues arising? Absolutely not. There will be issues. There will be conflicts, especially if we value and we celebrate diversity. If we value and celebrate diversity of opinion and expressions of faith, different expressions of faith, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be different issues that arise. But this is why it's so important that we focus on the character aspect of our discipleship, and focus back on what we've been talking about in emotionally healthy spirituality, that we navigate through these issues and conflicts in a healthy, mature way as the family of God in the body of Christ. And so what relationships in the life of our church do you need to work at? What relationships or what tensions are you experiencing in relationships that you might be afraid to disrupt? We need to work through these tensions and these conflicts in a healthy, mature way if we are to harvest and to build true and healthy community here in the life of our church. But also, if we are to build unity, because you cannot have unity, or you cannot have true fellowship without true unity. You cannot experience true fellowship if there is not true unity in the life of the church. So number one, healthy and true community is built upon true fellowship, which is therefore also built upon or characterized by unity. And if we are to have true unity, then Jesus Christ needs to be front and center of our lives. Amen. Take a look again at Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 19 about us being a family of believers. And then in verse 20, he speaks about together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church, amen? He is the most important aspect of our community of faith. And if the church is to grow to a sense of unity and to grow, it needs to be centered on Jesus Christ. He is the common value, the common denominator in our worship, in our way of life, our living. That is what brings true unity to the church, Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Paul moves from this image or the metaphor of the family into this metaphor of a building or a household in the space of two verses of this passage of Ephesians. And the reason for this is because buildings in particular, the Jewish buildings in the Old Testament or back in Paul's day, which is the context in which these passages are set, the foundation was an integral part of the building. The same is true today. Obviously, with modern day buildings, the foundation is an integral part of the building and in order to make a safe structure. And the foundation, according to Paul, according to this text, of Christ's building, of his church, is the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. And the reason for this is because they didn't speak of their own, did they? They didn't speak their own words. They spoke and they were very much mouthpieces of God. These prophets, the apostles, they were the very mouthpiece of God. So the foundation of God's building, the foundation of his church, is his own word. God's word, the Bible, is the foundation. But it is not the most important part, is it? The most important part, which Paul goes on to say, is the cornerstone. That cornerstone being Jesus Christ himself. And without the cornerstone, as we can see on the screen, with this image of an ancient Jewish building, without the cornerstone, the whole structure falls apart and crumbles. This was a picture of of myself on a tour in Israel, and I got the opportunity to see these structures firsthand. But what Paul is saying is that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that holds everything together, and not just holds it together, but unifies it as well. Because if you look at the picture on your screen, if you look at the way this building is built, the cornerstone was the very mechanism that would bind these two walls together. And we can see that what Paul is inferring here is that through Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ, what he has accomplished is that he has brought both Jew and Gentile together in a new and beautiful way. And not only has he brought them together, but he has binded them together in sheer unity as well. It is as John Stott states and accurately affirms, God is not tied to holy buildings as he once was, such as the ancient temple of the Old Testament. He's not bound and not tied to holy buildings, but now in Christ, holy people. And that is ultimately what binds us together. It's what unifies us again as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It is our shared common love and value in him. And again, church unity isn't necessarily characterized by the absence of conflict. Again, there will be conflict, but the degree by which we are working together towards a common purpose. That is where true unity is defined. Us working together towards a common value and purpose, which ultimately should be Jesus Christ. And I want to illustrate this point here today by touching on the story of Australian basketballer Paddy Mills. And obviously Paddy Mills, along with Kate Campbell, was the person who led the Australian Olympic team out on Friday night at the Tokyo Olympic Games opening ceremony. And Paddy Mills has a great story. And not only is he a great basketballer, but has an incredible story as well. And I want to touch on one aspect of his story, one story from his career, and that is his participation and the highlight from his career, him playing during the NBA 2013 NBA Finals. And it was at this stage of his career that he was just a role player for the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, he would only come on for a few minutes here and there. He didn't really play all that much, and he was still finding his way in the NBA at the time. And the Spurs made it to the NBA Finals, which is basically the grand final, the playoffs. And he only played a handful of minutes for the whole entire series, which meant most of the time he was sitting on the bench watching his teammates go at it. But what stood out about the person he was that throughout this series, he became a bit of an internet sensation, because every time the cameras would pan to the Spurs bench, there was Paddy Mills waving his towel around, trying to encourage and spur his teammates on. And this is an image that I would like all of us to take note of here today and apply to our context in the life of the church. Because we want to be people that encourage one another and spur one another on, amen? Ultimately, we want to be waving our towels and spurring and encouraging one another on, particularly in the season of life that we find ourselves in right now. This is the kind of church community that we all want to harvest and build, amen? For we are all, as the Apostle Peter writes, like living stones that are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones built into the same wall. Each and every one of us with our own unique part to play, our own function within the context of our faith community, our church family. And this is what it looks like, again, to build a healthy church community. It's characterized by unity that is ultimately characterized by love. True and healthy community is characterized by fellowship. Fellowship that is characterized by unity, and unity that is ultimately characterized by love. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Love, just like fellowship, is a gift from God. It is all an outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And love ought to be the very thing that defines us, amen? It ought to be the very essence of our family, our church community. This is what Scripture says. This is what Jesus said. We ought to be defined by love. And I encourage us to go back to our sermon last week where we spoke about this, didn't we? Where we spoke about that everyone in the context of our church community ought to feel valued and receive a sense of dignity and worth and be treated with a sense of dignity and worth in the life of this church. And when that is experienced and when it is lived out, that is when true unity is experienced, when it comes from a place of love. But the cool thing about this is that it is also there is also a very real missional element to this as well. If we go back to our passage in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, what we see is that this missional attribute is being lived out in the life of the community as they love one another. This is what it says, particularly verse 47 I want to pick up on. "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." True fellowship, therefore, as it's lived out perfectly, is very much a missional venture. Amen. When we live it out in the context of our lives, people see the way we're living, and God willing, people will be added to our number daily. How cool will that be? But again, we need to get it right in our own backyard. We need to practice this. We need to build and harvest the true community that is built upon these attributes: love, unity, fellowship, if we are to harvest the kind of community that Jesus desires for his church. And so with all this said and done, how do we live this out in our current context? How do we live this out in our current climate? Well, I want to refer you guys back to what we spoke about a few weeks back on our Zoom catch-up. For those who are on that, a few weeks ago, instead of our Sunday service, we met on Zoom, and we spoke about ways that we could love and serve one another at this time. I just want to recall some of those things that you as a church came up with, those ideas and notions that you spoke about. Have a look on your screen now. We spoke about, and you spoke about, keeping in touch with one another, giving people a call to see how they are, to see if there's anything we can do for them, encouraging others to do the right thing, obviously to act responsibly at this time, praying for one another, praying for our world as well, helping one another out, helping with cooking a meal for someone, providing food, which we've been doing for our local community. These are just some of the ideas that you as a church came up with in order to live out this practice and this virtue of love and service for one another. This is what we can do at this time. And what this does is this builds trust with one another. This builds the fabric of unity and fellowship that we've been speaking about that will be experienced and lived out when we eventually come back together in person. The reality is everyone has their part to play, amen? Not just me as the pastor, but we all have pastoral responsibilities to love one another, to look out for one another, to be there and support one another as well. And so what I want to leave us with all today is this reminder to continue to serve one another, to love one another at this time, not only to build healthy community here at San Susie Baptist Church, but also that we may go deeper in our relationship with God, yes, but also that we may go deeper in our relationship with one another as well, amen. So what I want to do for us as we leave this space and come to this time of prayer now is to pray first and foremost that we will go deeper into this area, but pray as well that we will continue to live out this way of love and service in the life of our church at this time. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you again for this opportunity now. We thank you that you love us and that you have blessed us with the gift of fellowship with you first and foremost. And we realize that this is something we need to work at, that we need to devote ourselves to if we are to harvest a meaningful and loving relationship with you. We also realize, Lord, that we need to work at it when it comes to one another. When it comes to fellowship or koinonia with one another, we need to work at it. We need to contribute, jointly contribute and participate with one another and in life with one another as well. So Lord, bless us as we do that. And we know that as we do that, we will build upon the unity within the church, but we will also, that is also built upon and characterized by the love for one another in the church as well. So Father, as we reflect on these areas, help us to go deeper, yes, but also help us to live it out in our lives at this time, to continue to be there and support and encourage, spur one another on, despite the circumstances we are in. Bless us now as we come to this time of prayer. In Jesus' name.